This is a replay of the Thursday night, February 22nd, WGN show. We started around 10:40, right after the basketball game. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call, though a lot of you did. I hope you'll rectify that soon if you weren't one of them. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, and unless sports preempt us, that's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593, my toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe. It's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We've got about 2.5 hours to spend together. I'd love for you to call 888-876-5593. We'll get in a couple of your requests as well. But I was just noticing a couple stories that interested me. One was, I don't know if you've heard it, but Voyager 1 has gone dark. Now, actually, it went dark on November 14th, but I don't know if anybody told us. And if you don't recall, the name probably sounds familiar, NASA's Voyager 1. It was the first spacecraft to cross the heliosphere. It's currently the most distant human-made object from Earth. And it was launched, along with Voyager 2, in 1977. That's when NASA decided they were going to explore our neighbors, distant neighbors, Jupiter and Saturn, not exactly close by. Currently, the probe is about 15 billion miles from Earth and has been active for 4.5 decades. Now, there was sort of a warning a while ago. Yeah, that, man, when this starts to happen, that should have been an issue. But several months ago, it started just spewing binary data. You know, lots of ones and zeros. And no one exactly knew why. And then in May of 2022, prior to the ones and zeros, it sent back data about its location, but it was impossible that it was there. Yeah, so that's a mystery to say the least. Well, now it ain't talking. So as of November 14th, it's gone dark due to, quote-unquote, a malfunction. I guess what else could it be? Can you be more specific? The answer is no, they really can't. And the NASA engineers are quite concerned that it'll never recover. And one said, it'd be the biggest miracle if we get it back. So apparently, they say, the space, the probe appears to be receiving and executing commands. And I say to myself, how exactly does it know that? Each message takes about 22 hours to send. Well, it is 15 billion miles. And once it's received by the probe, it can take days to get a response. But see, it isn't sending any response. So I'm not sure how they know it's receiving and executing commands since it ain't talking. But without the craft sending any data back, it's difficult to assess the problem. I'd love to know why they think that the craft is able to get the messages, but I guess hope springs eternal. And being 16 billion miles away, it's a bit of a problem. Not to mention, I mentioned the launch was 1977. Everyone who directly worked on it is dead. All right. I know it's theoretically a young Turk could still be with us, but it turns out the people who would know may know, but they're not on this plane. They did, however, leave reasonably good documentation, but it's not like something online, and it's not like anything that's ever been put online. It's on paper. So finding it is somewhat of an archaeology dig, actually. And so it's a mystery. Now, in the meantime, before we leave outer space and get to Tampa, we will, which sometimes can be synonymous, it depends. Odysseus is the first American lander to reach the moon in 52 years, and you're saying, I didn't know NASA was sending anything back to the moon. Well, it's not NASA, it's private. For the first time in more than five decades, we've returned to the moon as Americans. A week after launching aboard a SpaceX rocket, the Odysseus, which was uncrewed, gently touched down on the surface of the moon today, actually, making a historic moon landing, unmanned, of course. Designed and operated by Intuitive Machines, it's now the first commercial spacecraft to ever land on the moon. Exactly what they'll do with it, who knows? It's the first by an American-built spacecraft since Apollo, the final Apollo in 1972. So, Houston, Odysseus has found its new home, said the president and CEO of Intuitive Machines shortly after the landing, which came at about almost 5:30 this afternoon, Central Time. And the announcement came 10 minutes after it actually happened, followed a few communication challenges and tension built as the team really wondered, well, okay, is this going to work or not? Yeah, certainly would be an expensive failure. So if you're saying, what is the Odysseus? Well, obviously, nicknamed for the Greek hero of Homer's epic poem, The Odyssey. Odysseus hitched a ride last Thursday at SpaceX, yes, that's Elon Musk, as you know, which launched from Nash's Kennedy Center in Cape Canaveral. And what Intuitive Machines built it for was to carry cargo for NASA and other private customers to the lunar surface. Formally, it's called Nova C. It's 14 foot tall, and it's a hexagon. Yeah, it is. With six legs that the space company has operated from the Mission Control Center in Houston. So Odysseus may be the first privately built spacecraft to reach the moon, but it's hardly the first to try. Yeah, you might have heard about some of these. In January, there was a company in Pittsburgh, Astrobotic, that sent its Peregrine lander, doomed. The spacecraft burned up in the Earth's atmosphere a few days later. Shortly after the craft separated from the United Launch Alliance's Vulcan rocket, Peregrine's propulsion began to leak. That was about all there was to it. So here comes Intuitive Machine, and it made it. So that's pretty interesting. Not to say that Intuitive Machines didn't encounter any hiccups. They did. Temporary communication delays being the most frequent, but nothing so detrimental that it would, you know, cause the mission to just go down the tubes. So after separating from SpaceX, it took the lander 48 minutes to reach orbit before it established communication with Houston, and engine firing Friday positioned it toward the moon and allowed flight controllers to determine the burn and throttle systems needed, and it was successful. So, all right. Now, Intuitive is working with NASA. NASA has a budget of $2.6 billion, is it billion with a B? Yes, in contracts for private companies available through 2028, paying private companies to place scientific payloads on private robotic landers like Odysseus, bound for the lunar surface. So, you know, if you've got one, you're not going to have to pay the freight for the travel, so to speak. And now that this is successful, of course, looks like NASA will probably be encouraged to work with more commercial entities on future endeavors. So NASA, by the way, paid Intuitive Machines $118 million to take scientific payloads to the moon. And that's right, that was the bus fare for that. And they'll collect data for NASA as it prepares ultimately to send astronauts back to the lunar surface. Artemis, for the first time. I don't know when they're planning to do that. I think they're intending to launch it by the end of this year. And it'd be a 10-day trip, but we'll see. And so that's the deal. NASA is not yet back on track, but looks like they might be sending a crew to the moon's south polar region, laying the groundwork for NASA to establish a permanent human presence. Oh, that's interesting. Would you volunteer for that? Yeah, me neither. 888-876-5593. Now, if I could nominate people I want to send, oh, that's an entirely other matter. We'll get to Eduardo in Tampa in moments right here. Hopefully you too, if you'll call 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
Have you seen my baby? Have you seen my girl? Uh-huh. I'm talking about Shirley, the one I told you I love. Uh-huh. I search high and low, see and show. I can't find my baby, no matter where I go. I want a $10,000 or reward my girl. Uh-huh. I'm walking in circles, pulling hair out of my head. Sometimes I would that I was dead. If you got a good girl, treat her tenderly, or you might wind up like me. I want a $10,000 or reward my girl.
James. Oh, good, an excuse to play Ernie Cato songs. He would have turned 91 today, born in 1933 in New Orleans, singing and recording since the mid-50s. And, you know, in addition to being a terrific singer, he was a great drummer, too. Died July 5th, 2001 in New Orleans, young, 68 years old. But he was no stranger to drink, that's for sure. For a while on WWOZ on Tuesday evenings, he had his own show, Boyne, Cato Boyne. It's hilarious to listen to that. All right, so we have, speaking of one, a $10,000 reward, how about $30,000? Eduardo in Tampa, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Yeah, good evening. Well, yeah, I think it would have been a better story, even though I just saw Telemundo have it as the first story. It would have been a better story if it was an actual person that was landing, like in 69.
Oh, yes.
In my opinion.
Oh, of course. Of course. It is interesting that it was private, you know, that it was a private company.
Right.
So, but yeah, of course, when you first read it, you think, oh, wow, we're sending more people to the moon. Well, not yet. Now we'll see if we actually do at the end of the year.
Yeah. Well, I don't think that had any interference with what happened with the outage today. Although I'm wondering if that's going to make people run out and get the landlines. I know they said use Wi-Fi, but will they go for landlines for backup, maybe?
You know, unfortunately, in fewer places can you get a legitimate landline. Even people who think they're getting landlines from the phone company, well, yeah, it's at their house. It might have a piece of copper, but somewhere in the mix, it's switched to VoIP. So I'm not 100% sure how many pure landlines there are. And as you know, the phone companies are routinely filing with the PUC not to have to offer the service.
Okay.
So the day is coming when there will be no landlines because it just doesn't make sense to maintain that.
Yeah. Hey, I got to ask you, did you ever hear of Paul Williams? He was a gospel singer.
Paul Williams? Well, of course, Paul.
No, Paul. B-E-A-U, Paul Williams.
Paul Williams. So
if I'm saying it right.
Okay. All right. So, I do know as far as that. He's from Houston, I think. And, he was on...
Gospel singer?
Yeah, Through the Light was his label, I think. Yeah.
So I bring him up because I'm wondering if the song I'm about to mention is kind of like a copycat, and he really should be the one that gets credit for it, but he really doesn't get it because it's actually giving credit to Robbie Nivel.
Oh, yeah, C'est la vie.
C'est la vie.
That's
right.
That absolutely was a cover. He wrote it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was looking that up because I was playing it while the Northwestern thing was going. So
yeah. No, he did. It was on an album he had on Capitol. And, Robbie Nivel. And I love the Robbie Nivel version, but I should probably play the Paul Williams.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I'm glad I brought that up because, everybody remembers Robbie Nivel's song, yeah.
Yeah. No, he, in addition to doing the gospel stuff, he also, sang the anthem for a lot of different sports teams. So, okay. And remember, I don't know if you remember Robert Tilton. This guy was just a disgrace. He was a televangelist, and he had this success in life. And, oh, my God, it was terrible. But anyway, he appeared on it. And you can still see him occasionally on replays on Trinity. So, yeah, that's why I know him, you know, my collection of nutso televangelists over the years. But, yeah, he did. He wrote C'est la Vie. So, you know, I didn't feel bad when Robbie Neville covered it because he got the bucks.
Yeah. And I remember seeing an American Bandstand clip of it.
Yeah.
I saw the video, and then I went to American Bandstand and saw the interview he did with Dick Clark. So,
Yeah. Yeah, he was on.
But that'd be interesting to see.
He was on Star Search, and in fact, when he was on Star Search, he defeated Sam Harris. And you know, Sam Harris was like the be-all, end-all on Star Search in the '80s, and he defeated him.
I read that. Yeah, I read that. How about that?
Yeah. So absolutely, you know, I don't think he's recorded anything probably in about 15 years, as far as I know. So, but you can see some of those old clips on Trinity. And bye.
Yeah.
I got to go.
The
hour has ended. You want to hold on or you want to go?
I'll hold on.
All right. We'll do that and we'll be back on WGN Radio. James, and that is from Bodacious, Bo Williams, 1984 on Capitol. And it was a great record, a great song. But, you know, production is everything when it gets right down to it. And actually, it was kind of a sweet production in many ways, but there was something about Robbie Neville that just to me screamed hit.
They got me working night and day. A budget.
little more research on this because I was just looking at the 45, the Robbie Neville 45, and Bo Williams isn't credited as a writer. And so I went back to the album, which I've got, the Bodacious album, and he's not credited with it there as well. In fact, one of the writers is Neville. Now, I don't know that that's Robbie Neville, but I'm about to find out. So I'm glad that Eduardo brought that up because I never looked at that before. So, Eduardo, you're back.
Well, thank you for playing that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, thank you for playing that. They sound similar.
They absolutely.
They sound very similar.
Very similar, yeah. But the production, I think, on Robbie Neville is just a bit better. Although I didn't bad on Bodacious. I thought that was a nice album. But now I'm very curious to find out about these writers.
Yeah, I'll definitely stay tuned for that. Yeah. I'll be listening to your findings on that. Yeah. I was just going to bring up one more story because it's Thursday. Christopher Nocito, I think I saw this on Inside Edition. He found $30,000. He's a conductor in Long Island. And I'm glad he found that money because if it would have been a passenger, I think they would have just walked away with it.
You know, you never know. And sadly, a conductor might have walked away with it too, an employee. You just never know.
Yeah.
There's good people and there's questionable people on all sides of the aisle. But it was rewarding to see that the guy got his $30,000 back. I mean, leaving it on a Long Island Railroad train right before Christmas. I mean, how do you forget you're carrying $30,000? You know, I think I'd want that strapped to my chest.
Right.
You know, I don't think I'd want to just like kind of, let's just put the valise in the seat next door. No. So that part, I don't know. But hopefully whoever the money, the rightful owner, hopefully he's a little more careful with his stuff.
Right. Well, hopefully he's not on the shady side because maybe he works for the government.
That's interesting. I hadn't even thought about that. But from what I could tell, it didn't seem like that. So it didn't seem like he was, but now we have to check him out. Exactly.
Right. All right, I'm going to get off.
Thursday.
Well, thank you very much for the request.
Absolutely. You've given me me my homework now. I'll look for both of them. Thanks. All right.
Okay. Have a good weekend.
So if Robbie Neville was a co-writer of that, which I'm believing he was at this point, then why was it on Bodacious before Robbie Neville had it? Or did Robbie Neville had his album cut earlier on something else that I just don't know about? I'm going to look and find out, that's for sure. Now I'm curious. Expiring minds want to know. So we've got Cindy, and she's in Norwich. Cindy, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Yes, now I forgot what I was going to say listening. But anyhow, I wanted you to play, I don't know the title, you know, Cindy Lou on Blue Without Cindy Lou. You know, Buddy Holly was my boyfriend's favorite. But anyhow,
Cindy
if
Lou,
you could play that, would you play that one?
Maybe. Let me see if I'm up for it or not. Maybe.
All right. I wanted to talk. Well, the other thing I wanted to tell you when I didn't know about 50s music or oldies music, like 50s music, all of the 50s. I thought the Beatles, you know, when I was growing up, I thought the Beatles invented rock and roll because my parents played music from like the 30s and 40s. And we never went anywhere but really church or, you know, I don't know. We just never, and I don't know. But then anyhow, I wanted to talk about Jim Baker. I think about 2 years ago, I couldn't sleep and I turned on, he was back on the radio or on the TV. I'm not a big TV person either. But I turned on the TV to the religious station and Jim Baker was on again, and he had another real beautiful, thin, blonde-haired wife. And he, you know, I guess shortly after he was in trouble with the law again. I don't know if you knew about that.
Yeah.
And then his daughter came on the TV, and all I could say, I don't want to insult anybody, or you know, I don't want to be non-politically correct.
Yeah.
But just go look her up and look at her appearance.
No, I know. It's Lori Beth. I know who she is. And they adopted five kids along the way. They've been married for gosh, years, because he and Tammy Faye got divorced in 1992.
Yeah,
and it was really, really weird.
Died.
Well, it was she did. Absolutely, I know. It was really weird because she wound up marrying the architect of the churches that Jim Baker had been involved with and all this. And what was really weird is that his first wife, he never would allow his first wife to wear makeup. It was like this thing. He just wouldn't allow it. And then he marries Tammy Faye. Well, yeah, I'm sure that first wife to this day is wondering, what the heck? Yeah, Tammy Faye LaValle was her name. And she married Messner. It was Roe Messner was the guy. Yeah.
But the way I learned mostly about 50s music is my boyfriend moved in, I guess it's over, 35 years ago, and two doors away, and he used to play his 50s music, and I would listen to it. I was on my back porch, enclosed back porch with the windows open, and before we got together, and I used to hear his music. But then another thing I want to tell you, I don't know if I should say this, but thank you for taking me seriously. Not too many people ever did. It was just like, just an old-fashioned neighborhood where women were to be seen and not heard, and the boy in the family was raised, I grew up in a German family, like the whole world revolved around the sun, moon, stars, planets, family, school, everything revolved around the sun. And he was like God to the God, God's, I don't know, but that's just the way, the old fashioned way that I was raised.
All right. Well, okay, we'll try to get your Cindy Lou on for you.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. All right, so, oh, man, Tammy Faye. And that's the part that weirded me out. I read a lot about that because Roe Messner had been involved with the Bakers. In fact, he was the guy who gave the money to Baker to pay off Han, whatever her first name was. I can't think of it now. But anyway, but he wound up getting a divorce. And like I say, he was typical of the era where his wife was seen and not heard, and she was not allowed to wear makeup and not allowed to do this. And here then he marries Tammy Faye while Jim is in prison. And so, yeah, that was out there. But yes, Jim Baker is absolutely still with us. And, I think there's a certain amount of restrictions on what he can and cannot do or what have you. But he's still around. I think that the last thing was a couple of years ago, probably during COVID, like in 2020 or 2021 or whatever, where the attorney general, and this probably would have been Missouri because they were living in Branson, but I'm pretty sure it was Missouri. In any event, they sued him, and there was a settlement, and the upshot was that Baker and his Morningside Church could not say any longer. They were prohibited from saying that colloidal silver, that silver solution could diagnose, prevent, mitigate, treat, or cure any disease or illness. He also had to pay, I think, to the state $157,000 for people who bought silver solution. So I guess, yeah, COVID came and, then colloidal silver will cure anything. Well, didn't turn out so well. Maybe it should have cured Baker because he had a stroke. Lori, his wife, announced that he had a stroke, but said that it was minor, but he'd be taking a sabbatical, and he did. He did for a while, and that was the deal. So, yes, Jim Baker. All right, 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. Well, Cindy Lou or another Ernie Cato. Yeah, I want to go for another Ernie Cato, but I think I'll fulfill Cindy's dreams. And yours too if you'll call me on WGN Radio.
Peggy Sue, oh, Peggy, my Peggy Sue. gal and I need you, Peggy Sue.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and you're saying that's not Cindy Lou, that's Peggy Sue. Au contraire, you'll never hear Cindy Lou on a recording, but that is that was the recording where Jerry Allison said to Buddy Holly, Buddy Holly had written Cindy Lou. Actually, Buddy Holly had a niece named Cindy Lou, a young girl, and he wrote the song for Cindy Lou. Well, the deal was that that Jerry Allison had a crush on Peggy Sue Guerin, and she went to Lubbock High. In fact, she was a classmate of Buddy Holly's. And at that session, Allison's, come on, yes, not Cindy Lou. You got to say Peggy Sue. You know, I got to impress her. So there it was. That's the deal, Peggy Sue. And then, of course, they re-recorded it, and it became a hit. And as for Peggy Sue, she sadly died, I think, about 4 or 5 years ago now. She made it till 78 in Lubbock. Never did leave Lubbock. And so it was actually not a lot of people thought that Peggy was Buddy Holly's girl, but was not. It was Jerry Allison who wanted to impress him. And as far as I know, he did, but I don't think that that went anywhere. And I think they broke up, and then they were married for a while, though, I think, actually. And then they had a divorce. But they're married, I think, through the 70s. And she moved to California for a while. I think she was a dental hygienist or something. I'm not making this up. And she married a plumber. Yeah, I know. But, hey, that's what the deal was. And, you know, that was, in fact, she became a licensed plumber in the state of California and then went back to Lubbock. So, anyway, that's the deal. And, of course, Jerry Allison. You know all about Jerry Allison. So that's the soap opera story of Peggy Sue, who actually was Cindy Lou, but not on record. So when Cindy said she wanted to hear Cindy Lou, well, you can't hear it by Buddy Holly. A lot of other people did Peggy Sue using the Cindy Lou name, but Buddy didn't, near as I know. So 888-876-5593 would be 8888-Raleigh. Leah and Marcus Hook, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. How you doing?
Well, better than Peggy Sue, I suppose. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. I wanted to talk about Odysseus.
I know. Yes, absolutely. It's made it. It's got its home on the moon.
Yeah. The fascinating thing is they said they're landing it next to where there's water and ice on the moon. Which I didn't even know was water and ice on the moon.
I wonder what
did
else.
You?
I've heard, but obviously I have no direct knowledge, clearly. But I was just wondering if they'd find anything that was left behind from other humans who made it.
Well, yeah, that too. But they said they're landing it near water and ice so that can, like, when humans land there again, I heard they were going in 2026, but they said the Artemis was going in 2026.
Yeah. Now, the deal with water and ice is that it's going to turn into vapor and leave because the moon doesn't have much in the way of gravity. So, you know, there may be some water and ice, I guess, maybe in shadows and stuff like that. But for the most part, you've got a very thin atmosphere and very low gravity.
Well, I don't know, because on the news they said it would help the people that land there in
sure.
the future.
Well, why not? Sounds good to me.
I don't know.
So,
it was Jessica Hahn.
Yes, Jessica Hahn. Yes, yes. And it was Roe Messner who gave Jim the money to pay her.
Because that's when I used to listen to Howard Stern. He used to have her on with Sam Kinison.
Yeah. Whatever happened to her?
I don't know. She just faded from the public eye.
She's got a Wikipedia page, so let's see if it says what happened to her.
That's when Howard Stern was funny.
Well, before he became an adult. All right. Well, let's see what we can see here. I want to know. In December 17... she married Frank Lloyd, a film stuntman, and is no longer active in show business, lives on a ranch in North Los Angeles. And in July 2023, so last summer, Hahn's husband Frank Lloyd filed for divorce Ah, hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay right where you are. We'll pick it up right there after the news right here on WGN Radio.
My friends always doing me wrong. Really, I don't care now. They're trying to drive me away from my lover. Each and every day. But the mean thing you do, they can't make me feel bad. Cause surely you're the best girl I've ever had. I got
Radio, I'm Raleigh James Moore. Ernie Cato, yeah, Shirley's Tough. Yeah, that's the Shirley that he was talking about and wanted $10,000 reward. That was actually one of the first things he did on Ember, and then after he had Mother-in-Law and all, a certain girl, Liberty reissued it. Yeah, and actually put it as a B-side to My Love for You. So 888-876-5593 would be 8888. Raleigh, back to Leah. All right, Leah. So I
Didn't she take the money from Jim Baker and get like a bunch of plastic surgery?
Among other things, she got about $279,000 at the time. And like I say, that was what Roe Messner made the money drop. But yeah, so
she got like a new nose and new teeth and breast implants, I think.
Supposedly, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then she went on to date the world. And yeah.
Boy, did she. Went on Howard Stern, and he kept setting her up on different dates. I remember that.
Well, and of course she would, you know, he loved it because she would be real big about talking about all of her conquests and stuff. So it made for fun radio, and God love him for doing that. But it was always amazing to me what she would admit to, like sleeping with Hugh Hefner, and that he was good in bed and all this stuff. I'm like, shut up, Jessica, you know. But yeah.
Well, that's when the show was funny. He used to have Grandpa Al Lewis on and everything.
Yes.
Sam Kinison.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, that's when the show was funny.
Yes, well, you know, I haven't heard it in years, but I understand from people who still listen that they really enjoy a lot of the stuff he's doing. It's not the same kind of thing, obviously, but they enjoy it. I don't know. But in any event,
he became crude just for crude's sake, you know? I mean,
yes, in a way. You know, the other side of that is, while somebody might be shocked by that, remember, for a lot of people, they're saying, hey, they're finally saying things on the radio like I say. You know, I mean, people related.
Maybe not shocked, but just disgusted, you know? Well, it's not in a funny way. I don't think it's in a funny way like it used to be.
Yeah, well, I couldn't tell you because I haven't heard it in years. But anyway, I have a list of who she dated. I was a little surprised at Gene Simmons and Tommy Lee and Sam Kinison. But all right, I knew she had been very serious with Ron Levitt, but he died, sadly, of cancer years ago. But he's the guy who created Married with Children. And then she married this Frank Lloyd guy. But apparently Frank filed for divorce this past summer. I think they might have adopted kids. Let me see if I can find that. I don't know if they had any, but let's see. But anyway, he claimed that they've been separated since 2018. So let's see. What do we have on Jessica here? Do we have children? I don't know. Let's see. We got her personal life. No, it doesn't say she has kids, so I guess not. I don't know. Or they missed them.
Aww.
Yeah. Well, that's probably better off for the kids.
For the kids, yeah, probably.
Yeah, right, exactly. So So I don't know who she's on to next, because if they've been separated since 2018, that's given her plenty of time. Oh, now here's something. Here's something from way back when. and I think recent, that says Jessica Hahn has two children with, this was with Ron Levitt. So I don't know.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
Wow.
Let's see.
So they must be grown.
Well, you would think. I don't know. So let's see. It says Jessica Hahn has two children with her longtime partner, Ron Levitt. The two were married in 1991, and their marriage lasted until his death in 2008. Her children, Matt and Samantha, have both grown up.
Yeah. Right.
So Matt and Samantha Levitt, I guess. So.
Oh, okay. Well, at least she's got children.
Yeah, supposedly. You know, I mean, remember, this is the internet. So who knows, really? But allegedly she does.
And I want to ask you about this song. Don't worry, I'm not going to ask you to play it. Because you probably really hate Joni Mitchell, right?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
By the way, not personally. Not personally. I don't know these people. It's just not.
You don't know her, right?
No, it's not the kind of music that I like. Yeah.
Right, but have you ever heard the song "You Turn Me On"? I'm a radio.
Of course, I've heard it. Don't make me ever hear it again. Yeah.
That got
airplay.
But the lyrics are really good. Like the play on words is really good.
Uh-huh.
Don't you think? You don't think so?
I think it needs a backbeat.
For people that like radio, it's a really cute little song.
Well,
I just heard it today for the first time.
For the first time, yes.
Yeah.
If you're driving into town with a dark cloud above you, dial the number who's bound to love you.
Yeah, it's a cute song. Okay, I think it's
then.
Cute.
Yeah, it's fine.
I know her voice is like, you know, weird. But
like I say, if it had a backbeat, maybe I'd listen.
I just think it's cute for anybody that likes radio might want to listen to
it. Well, there's a ton
of it up on YouTube.
Ton of songs about radio.
Yeah, but I just thought it was cute. But we had a happening here on Tuesday. Yeah. Albert came home and said, "Wow, I was driving today, and I came home." He came home and he said, "Guess what happened on I-95?" I said, "What?" He said, "There was a horse galloping on I-95." I said, "What do you mean there was a horse?" "Yeah, there was a horse. It got loose. Somehow, somebody broke down with a horse trailer, and like they had a tire blowout or something happened to it, and the horse broke out of the horse trailer and was galloping down I-95.
Probably passing cars.
Yeah, they had a video of it on the news. It was unbelievable.
So
he was at full gallop.
I assume he probably stuck to shoulders, but what part of Philadelphia was he on?
I don't know what part. He was downtown. It was downtown, like Center City. It was unbelievable.
Well, he was doing...
I mean, at rush hour.
Yeah, well, I don't know if it's rush hour, because I'm looking it up now. It says the video was filmed about 4:45 a.m.
Oh, a.m.?
Yes, a.m. by Angelo Palmer. He was heading to work. He leaned out of the window of a shuttle bus to capture the horse galloping. He picked up speed, was doing 40 miles an hour at the time. And
he was booking.
Yeah, said he was in full stride. It was the most majestic thing I've ever seen. So,
beautiful horse.
Yeah, so apparently the horse was first on Kelly Drive. All right, and then he made its way onto 676. Well, very good. Then it got to I-95 North, like you say, right through downtown. That's nice. And, you know, thank God nobody hurt the horse. And so
I know. I was so worried.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So here come the Pennsylvania State Police, and here come, KYW-TV3 or whatever channel that is, who are overhead with their chopper. And what was interesting is that probably belonged to the Fletcher Street Urban Riding Club, which is in Strawberry Mansion, so not too far from home, actually. And the horse escaped from their stable, and they said that at their check, the stables had been locked and secured, and so they were looking into this, how it happened, maybe some vandalism. But the horse was smart. It looked like it knew where it was going. And it apparently got off at the Allegheny exit in Port Richmond. So, yeah.
So, but they managed to catch him or something.
Yeah.
And take him back to where he belonged.
Yes, to the Fletcher Street Outback Riding Club.
Oh, okay. I thought they were transporting him or something. I don't know why I heard that.
No, this is an organization that helps kids at risk. And the kids learn about the horses and how to care for them and clean up for them and ride them and like that. And so the kids all got together and said, "We want to name him I-95. So apparently the horse was taken to the vet for a check, who said he was no worse for the gallop. And he's now resting it in his stable on Fletcher Street.
Oh, okay. 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 Yeah, that was really weird to see on the news. I mean, he was really going at a good clip.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't get enough exercise on the riding club. I think they need to ride him more often.
Maybe. Yeah.
But he's a lovely looking horse, all things considered.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, so
it was just strange to see. I mean, along with that, what was that other one that was going down the highway?
Oh, the one in Ohio with zebras and things. Yeah, that's the kind of thing.
The cow?
Yeah, well, oh, the cows too, but no, there was that one with zebras and camels.
And, oh, right.
Yeah.
That's the one, but they didn't have video of that, did they?
No, I don't think so. They should have, but I don't think so.
But there was a bull or something that was a few months ago.
Yeah, bulls make it onto the interstate from time to time. Yeah, you'd expect that kind of stuff. The zebras, not so much, but you know the
zebras and camels. No,
right. The farm animals that happens. There's in Calgary. There's a crossing over one of the big highways, and it's a crossing for like elk. And what's so weird is the elk know, and they all cross. You can see like a traffic tie-up of elk on this road, and so it's an elk crossing. So yeah. That's Calgary.
They know that's their crossing.
Yeah, they
huh?
apparently do, because you know there have been days where you see it and it's like they're backed up. Yeah, so I don't.
That's so cute.
Yeah. So that we used to watch that thing, but I'm looking to see if there's anything online about that because it was. Let's see.
Part of Canada is that?
Oh, it's Alberta, but
Alberta. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, now, you know, the Trans-Canada Highway, they don't have that as far as that goes. Well, they do, actually. It is part of the Trans-Canada Highway that they finally built this overpass for them. And you can see the elk and occasionally bears and other things cross the highway that way, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, at least they know they have a crossing.
That's right. So, yes. Yes, the province of Alberta paid for it, too, $12 million tax dollars, all four lanes. All right. So,
wow.
Yeah. All right. Well, good to talk to you as always.
Okay. Thank
all right,
you,
thanks.
Raleigh.
Appreciate it. All right. But now, before we get to Gary and Austin, it's the time you've been waiting for. The moment has come. It is time for Walter's Perspective, sponsored by HearingHealthCenter.com.
There's a certain girl I've been after a long, long time.
What's her name?
Can't tell you. Until I get her.
What's her name?
Can't tell you.
No.
I try time and time again. We end up as nothing but friends. There's a certain girl I've been after a long, long time.
What's her name?
Can't tell you.
No.
There's a certain chick I've been sweet on since I met her.
What's her name?
Can't tell you.
No.
Don't ask me her name. I won't reveal it. Until I get her.
What's her name?
Can't tell you.
No.
One day I wake up and say, just to have you, I'll be your slave. As I say, girl, I've been in love with a long, long time.
What's her name?
Can't tell you.
No. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. More Ernie Cato would have been birthday boy today. A certain girl. Alan Toussaint wrote that under the pseudonym Naomi Neville, but wonderful song all the way around. So, yeah, I'll be playing more Ernie Cato because I like him. And we'll get to Gary in Austin as well. And I was just looking at another elk crossing. I'll tell you about that, too, after the news right here on WGN Radio.
Every time I call your name, I get such a thrill like in his play. I'm your man. We fell in love on a Wednesday morning with all of our heart and soul. And people, I know you should have been there to see my girl rock and roll. And she said, a-dee-da-dee-da-da. Every time she cha-cha-cha. She said, a-dee-da-dee-da-da. Every time she cha-cha-cha. Her love for me is wider than the ocean, goes deeper than the sea. Whoa, she makes me feel so good when she
rock and roll for me. And she said, ah, 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 dee da dee da da. Every time you cha cha cha, she said, ah, 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 dee da dee da da. Every time you cha cha cha.
I'm Raleigh James. Ernie Cato. Yeah. Tita, tita, ta on Minute 1961. And as I mentioned, using this excuse to play some Ernie Cato because he would have been 91 today. Yeah, rest in peace, Ernie Cato. Died way too young. All right, but it was certainly an excellent life in terms of packed full of adventure and everything else you can do only in New Orleans. All right, so we have Gary in Austin. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Well, hey, Raleigh. Thanks for playing the Ernie Cato. It's great to hear this stuff.
Oh, yeah. And when I saw that, because Carol put it on the list and said he would have been 91 today. Oh, yeah, man, I got to do this. And I remember that show he had on WWOZ on Tuesday. I was in New Orleans, and I thought, well, I'll go there. And it was on Chapitoulas, the studio. And so, of course, I had to show up, and that day he was too drunk to attend.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well. Yeah, some of those songs I have, you know, it's been a while since I've heard them, and then there are a few I hadn't heard, so it's great to hear those.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, good luck, by the way, with your medication starting tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thinking about you.
I've got two new ones, and I've been debating which one to start first, and because I know not to start them together. So tomorrow morning, one will be started. We'll see how it goes.
Right. Yeah. Well, good luck with that.
Yeah, thanks.
You were talking about preachers and
televangelists.
One of the funniest things that way back when I got cable, and I was talking with a friend of mine in another city, and we were going through our cable dials, and we happened upon the PTL club, and so they were at the point somebody had, I guess, recently been saved, and they threw out their Dungeons and Dragons pieces, and as they threw them in the trash can, the Dungeons and Dragons pieces were screaming. And this person was just so melodramatic. We just laughed about that for minutes.
Absolutely. Well, you know, they trained under Pat Robertson. They had been at CBN beforehand. And then they were doing a show. And for a while, they were, in fact, for a brief period, Jim Baker was the host of the 700 Club. And this was when everything was either just on the local UHF station or they would bicycle the tapes. And so, Baker got a deal in around 72 with WRET-TV in Charlotte. And they wound up, well, actually, before that, they wound up with Paul and Jan Crouch, you know, Trinity. I'm sure you've seen that dynamic duo, too.
Them.
Yes, of course. And I swear that Jan Crouch gave Tammy Faye hair tips, but I'm not positive, but I'd bet it. So, when RET dropped the 700 Club, Ted Turner owned the station. He went to Baker, and of course, Turner being a businessman, he said, well, how about you buy a couple hours a day? And Baker said, all right, I'll do that. And meanwhile, Robertson took the 700 Club over to the ABC affiliate, a real station in Charlotte, and PTL debuts on RET. But they started, like I say, bicycling the tapes. And you'd see it in Greenville, and you see it in Nashville. That's what I ran across it big time. And it was just hilarious. And I'll tell you, they were all, not just PTL and Trinity and 700, but there were a few other networks, some of which you probably never heard, like the National Christian Network, and they all had a transponder on SATCOM 3. Now, what happened, as you know, SATCOM 3, when it was being boosted into final geostationary orbit, they lost it. To this day, they can't find it. And so they had to build SATCOM 3R, and the problem is they had a third less transponders. And so what they did is they gave the networks all their own stuff, because, of course, they're the networks. And then what they did with everybody else was it was a lottery. And PTL and Trinity and 700, they won. And NCN unfortunately lost, and so did a couple other people. But that was that when they got on Satcom 3R, man, the world was their oyster.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Another I used to like to watch was Gene Scott back then.
Oh, oh, well, you know, I started a fan club for him, the Genies. And so, yeah, for people who don't know Gene Scott had his own little channel, and he would, when, you know, he'd be on there all the time. Sometimes he'd just show pictures of his horses racing, but other times there would just be the chair, and it would say, "The doctor is out." And I remember one of the NABs, an engineering friend, called me, said, 3 a.m, "You're still up, right?" I said, "Yeah." "Would you turn on this channel?" I did. He said, "What is that?" I said, "Oh, that's Gene Scott, but the doctor is out." And you know, now, of course, the FCC got on Gene Scott, as you know. They didn't like him at all. They claimed that they were going to pick all of his licenses up because he had some, you know, use across the country. He also had a church in downtown L.A. And as God is my witness, this is the truth. When I was younger, the sign said "Jesus Saves," and I thought it was an ad for a bank. I mean, I didn't know what the heck this was, you know, because I just didn't expect it, you know, right there where it was, that it'd be a church, but it was. And so he would broadcast from this. But anyway, he really got on the FCC's bad side. But rather than just try to deal with it or whatever, I don't know if you watched it when he did this, he had some wind up monkeys, and each of them he had a little placard for which commissioner they were. And he'd wind up the monkeys, and he'd say, "The FCC says I'm raising money for one purpose and doing something else with it. Well, I want you to know, you're going to give me money tonight. You're going to give me a lot of money tonight. And here's a number, by the way. And when you give me money, I'll tell you exactly what I'm going to do with it. I'm going to use every dime to give the government hell." And it was just classic stuff. And he ultimately lost the stations.
Yeah, I did see some of those. And but he was just interesting and fun to watch, especially in the middle of the night, you know.
Oh, yeah,
but,
and then I didn't know this part until I was working at Billboard, and one day one of my coworkers introduced me to a girl, a nice-looking girl, and we were talking, and so I said, you know, "What do you do?" And figuring, you know, maybe she promoted records or whatever. And she said, "Well, actually, now I have a very strange, very, very strange job." I said, "What is it?" And she said, "Well, I go to dinner with Gene Scott." I said, "What?" And so she said, "Believe me, that is it. There is absolutely nothing but that. I am on his arm at dinner and at any personal appearances, and he's never even tried to kiss me." She said, "And it pays pretty well." Well, so anyway, I thought, well, I guess, you know, that's a good living for a while until you grow up. But then before he died, he got married. And he got married to a former, I think she was a porn star, but she turned into a televangelist. And so then she took over after he died. And I don't know what happened to her, but she renounced her past, obviously. But yeah, she was. Yeah, right, right. Melissa. Melissa Scott was her name. Melissa Scott. Pastor Melissa Scott. And that's who took over the Faith Center in Glendale. And because I think it was about 76 or so that he died. I mean, somewhere in there, I think. But she's interesting. She speaks like over 25 languages, and she can quote the Bible, you know, chapter and verse off the top of her head and all that kind of stuff. So I don't know what happened to her. But, yeah, Pastor Melissa Scott.
Wow, that's interesting. I didn't know he died that long ago. I thought it was, you know, maybe in the early 80s.
Maybe it was. Let's see when he died. You know, they all blend together after a while for me.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, let's see. When did he die? Oh, my God. He died really late comparatively. See, I had him in the grave in the mid-70s. He died in 2005.
Oh, really? I thought it was way before that.
Well, yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, apparently, he died February 21st, 2005. So he married her much earlier on, I guess, Melissa. They were married, I guess they got married in 2000. And then, of course, he died in 2005. He had been married a long time to Betty Ann, but that was like from 1951 to 74, before the gal I met who was his dinner companion. And yeah, so he started out Pentecostal and then became a Paulinist. And that was his big thing. And, you know, he could be fascinating, you know, when the doctor was in and he was actually, you know, deconstructing the Bible and stuff. It was actually pretty pretty interesting. But, yeah,
he'd talk about pyramids and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, no, he's
on
fascinating. He really was, yeah. But I didn't realize it was 2005. Damn. Oh, well.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I had him, probably 82, 83, we had him on the cable there, one of the I don't know where it was. It was something in the middle of nowhere, and it was on 24/7. So for a little while. So
right, yeah. And then there was Robert Tilton out of Dallas. Of course, he was just a real show. There were so many of them, and so many of them on Trinity that were just hilarious.
I was trying to remember about him because I remember I would go visit my family then, and they had a lot of fun making fun of him.
Oh, because he was in Farmer's Branch, yeah. And the show was called Success in Life. And it kind of funny because there used to be this guy in Florida, the Reverend Roosevelt Franklin. And he was this black guy who'd preach from a pulpit that had a dollar. It was shaped like a dollar sign. And he'd talk about God's blessing plan. And God's blessing plan, you give me $10, God will give you 20 back. You know, it was that kind of a thing. And Robert Tilton actually was kind of a version of that. Because the whole time I saw him, I said, my God, he's a, you know, success in life. This is Robert. This is, you know, Roosevelt Franklin here. But he obviously, make a vow. That was his thing. And, you know, I got a word of knowledge. Somebody's going to make a vow of $10,000. Yeah, a lot of words of knowledge and all that that kind of stuff. And, yeah, he was his fundraising was phenomenal. I mean, he made a lot of money. And something went wrong. There was a scandal. And this would have been like the 90s. And I think, that, remember, he got investigated. And I don't know what happened there. But there were a number of, I guess, influential people who got, you know, kind of into his act and then found out that maybe this isn't so great. And one of them started a full investigation. And so that was interesting. So, yeah. I don't know what happened to him after that. Of course, you know, he denied everything, but the government got involved in the state of Texas. And, oh, God, Tilton sued the television networks for libel. And, of course, that didn't work because actually what they had broadcast might not have been nice, but it was the truth. And so he tried to take that to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court said, nah, we're busy. You know, so that was the end of it.
Yeah, we got other fish to do.
Right. We got bigger fish to fry than you. And so then the donors started to sue him. And there was one donor who I remember her judgment was like $1.5 million. I thought, how much did she give him? And so I don't know. But yeah, that was the deal. He then moved to Florida and tried to do Success in Life from Fort Lauderdale. And he was doing a version on BET. Oh God. And he started a church in Hallandale. He was living on Miami Beach. And I don't know where he is now. It probably is interesting. He's probably still alive, but yeah.
Yeah. Somehow I thought they locked him up and maybe
No, I don't think he was jailed, but I think that it was just a financial disaster for him. That everybody came after him, some of them very very successfully. But I don't remember about him ever going to jail. But there were so many of these guys. Benny Hinn, he was another one out of Orlando. And, oh, gosh. Of course, Ernest Angley, the Grace Cathedral in Akron. Hill.
There's one on. Yeah, I was watching it. But there was one on the radio with Curtis Springer, who.
Oh, yeah.
Would. Where was he? Isaac Springs, someplace. And
right, right. Yeah.
And he always played these little scratchy song record.
Well, I always called it Zizek's, by the way, but could be Zizek. I guess it depends how you want to say it. But he did form Zizek. And anybody who grew up in California, we'd drive to Las Vegas, and of course, you'd be on what became I-15, and you'd always pass by Zizek's Road. And you'd always think that evil things were happening there. But it was actually this mineral springs. And the reason it was named Zizek's, or Zizek's, if you want, is because it was the last word in health, and it was the last word in the phone book, because it was ZZYZX. So that was the deal. So it could be the last word in the phone book, and it would be the last word in health. So, yeah, I think that Zizek's Road. Oh, by the way, this guy, Curtis Springer, tried to buy airtime on WGN. All right. Now, this was after WCFL sold him the time, all right? And so, but that got political because, of course, part of it was, all his medicines, his cures, which were mostly baking soda. But, there was one antediluvian tea, which was, I think it was laxative herbs. I don't know. I don't want to know. But when he wasn't busy selling his medicines, he was supporting FDR and the New Deal. So it became more of a political show. And anyway, he wasn't able, thank God, to get time on WGN. Smart, smart move, guys. But after that, he went to Chicago and bought the time on KDKA.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, so
that's interesting. I just remember hearing him on some religious stations back in the 60s. I think KSKY had him and some couple of other ones.
Oh, yeah. He syndicated this thing. Yes. And but the potions were just, mostly it was carrot juice or something. I mean, or goat milk. I don't think that any of the stuff probably hurt anybody. I just don't think it helped anybody.
I haven't really paid that much attention to a lot of the televangelist-y type people in the last 30 or 40 years.
Neither have I. I'm sure they're not nearly as interesting, back in the day, these guys were truly, truly hilarious. And like I say, Carl C. McIntyre and the 20th Century Reformation
era, yeah.
Just better than anything could have been. That was nirvana to me. So, yeah, of course, frightening to realize that these people were serious as a heart attack. But
they were.
But the Zizek's Road thing, he got in trouble with that. Because he got it because of some kind of mining claim. And later the government said, no, that's not real. And so he tried to he was selling somebody. He was selling lots and stuff and all this. And the government finally said, no, you're just squatting on federal land. And so he was found guilty and he had to pay back money, or he tried to pay back money. The government refused it and he got convicted of something. But I think the conviction was more for false advertising. He sold one thing that he said cured everything from sore toes to cancer, and I can't imagine what that was. But they convicted him as false advertising, and he wound up having to serve a 60-day sentence. Though they let him free after 49 days or something. He's buried in Riverside.
Yeah, maybe I should have bought that sore toe thing. I just whapped my toe against the table.
Oh, not again. No, believe me, you'd be lucky your toes didn't fall off.
That's probably what would happen.
Yeah, I wouldn't try any of this stuff. Yeah.
Oh, no.
All right, well, it's always... I know, I just love these guys. I haven't thought of them in years, but used to watch every last one of them. And like I say, I'd draw hot clocks and I'd know exactly when they were going to beg.
Yeah, I can picture that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great to talk to you.
Likewise. Thanks.
Thanks,
Gary.
Bye.
All right, so we'll pick it up right there. We got another hour of this right here on WGN Radio, another half hour.
But now she's gone, you feel so bad.
She love you. Go on and have a good cry.
Have a good cry.
Say you didn't love.
I say taint is the truth.
When she was with you, you didn't realize.
Didn't realize.
You didn't show her no affection. And the girl was by your side.
She
yes,
was
she
by
was.
Your side.
But now she's gone.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Minute Records, 1960, Taint It the Truth. Ernie Cato. Yeah, and Alan Toussaint wrote all of them under pseudonyms, mostly his mother's name, Naomi Neville, because he figured what was going on is he was trying to change deals for himself, and he didn't want to write things under his own name, and he figured, well, if I write them under my mom's name, worse comes to worse, she gets paid, and that's okay. But I think this one, C. Toussaint, he wrote it under his dad's, but it all turned out in the end. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, Mark is in Aurora. What's happening tonight, Mark?
Well, it just so happens that my current pastor attended ORU, Oral Roberts University.
Well,
I've been itching to ask.
Many other people have.
Yeah, and he's a Presbyterian minister now, and he has even admitted to us that he was mistaught some things while he was at ORU. But what I'm dying to ask him is whether Jim Baker really thought that God would, Oral Roberts really thought that God would kill him if he didn't get $6 million for his prayer tower, or if he knew that God wouldn't kill him, but he thought that was the best way to scare his
supporters
yeah. into donating.
Exactly. Of course.
I mean, I just don't know.
The latter's the truth, but the best part of this story, the reason I know the latter's the truth is, of course, what happened later. And you see, God intervened. In front of this prayer tower, he had these huge praying hands, all right?
Yeah.
For years, the praying hands kept falling down into the dirt. They would not stay. I had a friend who was running some radio stations there, and he said, just amazing, every time I drive by them, the hands are in the dirt again. You know, so yeah, I figured that was God telling them. Yeah, so I'm convinced that was a word of knowledge.
Yeah, what I originally called about was that you talked about rectangular 9-volt batteries yesterday.
And yes,
I think it's possible that the vintage radios sold by the MeTV FM mall use those batteries. But I know of one device that does, and that's the B-Crane amplified antenna. Their control box
yes.
uses one. And you can get a rechargeable one that's not 9 volts, it's actually 8.4
right,
volts.
Right.
But I wouldn't recommend that antenna for the C-Crane 3 or the C-Crane 2E because it'll overload those radios. They're mm-hmm. they're already plenty sensitive, but the radio that I would recommend it for is the SkyWave and the SkyWave SSB. It really enhances the reception on those radios. And the 9-volt battery just means that you can use the amplified antenna without an AC adapter, and that
yeah.
frees you up a little bit. But,
yeah.
Those batteries come from the Tenergy Corporation, and C-Crane doesn't sell the charger for them, but Tenergy does, and they're located in Northern California.
Okay.
And I've been on the phone with them a few times. They also have a good customer service department.
Oh, good.
And C-Crane, and C-Crane is a seller of their batteries, and
mm-hmm.
I hardly ever use my CC3 on house current anymore because I've got two sets of rechargeable batteries for it.
Yeah, and that'll work. And, of course, when you're DXing and all that, if you can stay off AC, it is your friend.
And that
absolutely.
Way, and when you use it on batteries, you can turn the radio around to optimize DXing. And,
Right.
And those batteries are good for at least 1,000 charges.
Well, good.
So I'll probably die before they run out.
Yeah. Well, let's hope not. Well, you see, now I saw your name on the screen, and when I was talking about Voyager 1, John said, "Well, Mark would know that it's coming back. It's coming back because in whatever it was, show that you guys watch, he said it came back in that." So we expect Voyager.
And I can't help but chuckle because I didn't know that.
Oh, really? Really?
No.
Oh, well.
No, I didn't follow Voyager as closely as the original series. But yeah. I liked Voyager because I liked female captain and the Indian, his name sounds like Chipotle, but it's actually Chakotay.
Okay.
And
either way, it does sound edible. Yeah. So we'll see if Voyager 1 does communicate again. I'm betting not.
I would say if you have a CC3 or a CC2E radio, you're probably better off with the unamplified loop antenna.
Uh-huh.
Because that'll do you plenty of good. But the amplified antenna will overload the front end.
Okay.
And it's
good to know.
That radio will start doing the Watutsi.
Yeah, right, right. No, I know. Yeah,
the bass turned all the way up.
Yeah. Well, good to know.
Okay. All Everybody right. have a good weekend.
You too. Okay, bye. So, yeah, it is the tomorrow night is a replay of Monday Night Trivia. Next Monday, we are, in fact, live. Now, it's interesting because I got a full board of calls now. Last night, where were you? I tell you what. Well, let's see if we can get through some of them. Well, Laura in Willowbrook, how's it going, Laura?
Hey, Rally. I was in the car yesterday, and for some reason I pushed the wrong button. And it made me curious. I says, darn it, I have to call Raleigh because she knows this stuff.
Uh-oh.
I'm talking about the history of and the why of radio. Okay, first thing, when radio first started, was it all AM? Was it all FM? Did everybody play? I want to know why.
It was neither.
Is there AM and why is there FM? It doesn't make any sense. Why don't they just have radio?
No.
I don't know.
Now, when radio first started, it was not on kilocycles. It was on meters, and most everything was on 360. That was what was really interesting because almost all the stations were on the same frequency, and that was the deal there. Then there were a couple other frequencies that came into to being. Ultimately, the Federal Radio Commission came up with the idea of, you know, amplitude modulation. Originally, FM was really not viable. Now, the guy who developed it was Major Armstrong, and he leapt to his death ultimately. He was very upset that people didn't immediately adopt his system. But the reality was that at the time, FM was not ready for prime time because it would drift. You'd walk by the radio, the signal would drift. And this was a real problem. That's why if you have early radios, you'll see, by early, I mean like, say, the 50s, you'll see there's an AFC switch on FM, automatic frequency control. It didn't work, but it was nice that it was there. Ultimately, by the mid-60s, a few things came to fore, the biggest of which in terms of developments was the field effect transistor because it stopped drifting cold, which is nice. Mm-hmm. The other thing is the way that FM was transmitted originally in terms of, you know, polarization, in terms of horizontal or vertical polarization, and ultimately the FCC was, actually the NAB, I shouldn't say the FCC, the NAB was fighting against the standard that ultimately was going to bring FM radio to cars very easily and all that. And they finally got around to approving circular polarization, and that changed it. So the reason that FM grew after that in the latter 60s and on is not so much because college kids liked album rock, like a lot of people want to say. It's because the technology was there. Now, FM has advantages, and AM has advantages, but they're very different in terms of what those advantages
really?
Are. Oh, sure. FM is line of sight. So you're not going to get it off the ionosphere layer and like a WGN that's going to be heard many states away at night. You won't have that with FM. FM is not factored by weather, you know, like thunderstorms, you won't hear that and all that. But, you know, again, there's pluses and minuses on both of them. Broadcasters, I think, have certainly degraded the AM band, but not because it's technologically not viable, but rather because the audio chains suck. No effort is put into it, and it's a self-fulfilled prophecy. But the reality is that most listeners, if there's something they want to hear, they're going to find it. It doesn't matter if it's on AM or if it's on FM or if it's on the internet. If they really, really want to hear it, they're going to find it. And that's why I use the delivery truck analogy. When you're talking about AM or FM or satellite or, you know, anything else, you're talking about the delivery truck. Well, when you order something from Amazon, you don't look at the truck that delivered it. You just want to know what's in the package. Well,
right.
Well, what's in the package for radio is programming. And if you program something people want to hear, they will find you. Now, there is, and that's been proven, but there is a danger, and that is at this point in time, FM, no doubt about it, is more widely heard. So let's say you do something great on AM, unless it is unique to you where somebody else can't duplicate it, like a personality, if it's just that you're playing the best music mix, well, yeah, you can get to number one, but somebody on FM is going to copy you and they're going to take all your listeners. But
That's why I wondered. It seems like everybody keeps saying, oh, yeah, FM is more popular, and I just doesn't make sense.
Well, it's much more popular, but like I say, I would say less than the technological limitations, and again, many of them could be overcome with better audio chains, but less than that is that broadcasters as a group have pretty much abandoned the band. They put all their effort into FM, and so there aren't too many WGNs around. So when you're scanning the dial, there just isn't that much to choose from. So that's why in some areas you're seeing, you know, 90% FM listening and things like that. Yeah, because that's where the programming is. Again, the programming will drive it.
Yeah. Well, when I always listen to WGN, but when they've got sports on, of course, I got to flip stations. But it's like WGN is the best. I just can't imagine AM or WGN not ever being around. And I wonder I always thought if you're an AM station, you have to be talk radio. Does it?
Oh no, no. That's so not true. Now in Canada, they have restrictions by what you can do on the band, the CRTC. But in America, no. The only difference in America is whether you're commercial or non-commercial. If your license is non-commercial and you're appearing on the band between like 87.9 and 91.9, you're non-commercial. Period. And so if you're there on the band, you're not going to be commercial radio. If you're in the commercial band, do anything you'll want. Now, by the way, you can do anything you want programming-wise in the non-com. You just can't sell commercials. But sure.
Well,
so
the funny thing is, like I said, they had hockey or basketball or something on. I'm like, I can't listen to this. So I'm flipping around and 91.5 WBEZ, they are, like, it's talk radio. Like, they're on FM. That's not right. Something must be wrong with
Firstly, there are a number of FM-only talk stations, but in the case of WBEZ, they are the NPR station for Chicago. And they're a pretty substantial radio station. Don't kid yourself. They do very well. And a lot of people listen to WBEZ, but some of it's straight out of NPR. And then you can look at their radio schedule. Some of it is local as well. But and you'll find almost all the NPR stations are going to be on FM. But so, you know, if you're listening in the morning, you'll hear Morning Edition, or in the afternoon, you'll hear all things considered. But then when you start to listen at night, like at 10 p.m., they got Reclaim Soul. You know, they've got all sorts of things. So on that's on Friday nights, by the way. You know, different nights, different kind of things. So you can, you can go ahead and look at their schedule. You may find something you want to hear. And weekend radio, in most stations, sadly, especially most talk stations, they just sell infomercials, and it's terrible. WGN does not do that, so you get real programming. But also that's a great time weekends to take a look at some of the public radio stations, because very very often they'll have shows that, you know, somebody will do just locally, and maybe it will be doo-wop or something like that. You never know. So,
that's just surprised the heck out of me. You've opened my eyes to a whole new world. I'm strictly WGN,
but I
just flip the channels when it's sports. I don't like to listen to the sports, so it's like I got to listen to something else.
Sure, and
I flip back when the game's over.
Well, that's terrific, but you can find a lot of things if you dial around that are interesting. And again, doesn't matter if it's on AM or FM or satellite or online. If it's something you want to hear, listen to it.
Okay. Well, thank you, Raleigh. That's very, very informative. You and John are great, and you know a lot. Thank you.
Thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
Enjoy your weekend.
You too. So if you like NPR, but even if you don't, again, I know there's a number of people who might say, well, I'm really not down for their politics or whatever. Don't discount, public radio because you disagree with them politically or something, because you'll find very often there are some gems on the weekend. And then there's some fun stuff, too, some variety shows and all that kind of stuff. I don't think What Do You Know is still on, but there's a number of Wait, Don't Tell Me. You know, it's been a while. I used to love Jerry Galvin when he had Talk. That was my fave out of Cincinnati, actually. But so, yeah, there's a lot of things on public radio. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh, and that's where we'll pick it up with Chris in Greenwood, James on the South Side, and I don't know about you, but I'm so glad you're listening right here on WGN Radio.
I have cried my last tear. Of mine. I picked you out, I thought you were right. You kept me crying day and night. I got over you at last. All my cry is in the past. No more sorrow, no tears and pain. I tried hard to be your man. Took a little time to get you out of my mind. Now it's all over, it's all in the past. No more crying for me at last. No more sorrow, no tears and pain. I tried hard to be your man.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, 1961 on Minute. Yeah, it was the flip side of A Certain Girl. Fine, fine Ernie K. Doe song. So, yeah, fun playing that, and wish he was here to celebrate, but he certainly left us with a legacy of wonderful songs. All right, so I've got minutes, I tell you. Chris in Greenwood, South Carolina, what's up tonight?
Hey, Raleigh, how's it going?
All right, how about yourself?
I'm good. I'm listening to you on that CC Skywave SSB.
Glad to have you.
It's 77 miles away, 770 miles away from where I'm listening to, because I can pick y'all up real good. You know, you ever listen to the single side band on the radio?
Yes. In fact, when I talk about the Sea Crane radio, that little SSB radio is just a terrific little radio.
Yeah, you ever listen to the bands like 7200 and 3927?
Yeah, what do you hear that you like?
I like it when them ham radio, I call them ham clowns.
Right, of course.
Like, they be showing out on them kind of bands,
uh-huh.
Like making all kind of warming noises and playing music and cussing all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
If y'all want some good entertainment, if y'all have the CC Skywave SSB, tune in to 7200 like in the evenings and 3927 at night.
Yeah.
Now, they really throw it down.
Yeah.
And on the AM, like you said, on the weekends, like AM stations are a joke when it comes to infomercials.
Yes.
Yeah, but in my area, WCRs, they just play music on there mostly.
That's great.
And Sundays, they play gospel all day.
Oh, of course.
But they don't play infomercials on there.
Well, you have ended the show. I hope you will call me again soon.
I will, and y'all have a great weekend. Y'all stay out of trouble because this is me on the Raleigh James Show.
All right, good deal. Thanks.
Not at all.
Okay, appreciate it. All right, apologies to James. We didn't get there. Like I say, last night, man, I was talking to myself. Where were you? All right, so tomorrow night a replay. Then Monday night we'll be back at 10 o'clock Central for 3 hours of Monday Night Trivia. Now, until then, that's a wrap. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank you for calling. Made my night a pleasure. Talk to you Monday. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.